All right, we are back. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out, and you are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Standing by to join me on the second half of the show is Director for the Center for Student Wellness and Health Promotion, Doug Everhart. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks for taking the time. I know you're super busy.
Sure, no problem.
Tell me about this event coming up, the Town Hall.
Yeah, so the Town Hall is basically what will become an annual celebration of our Comprehensive Well-Being Initiative. So the campus adopted the Okanagan Charter in 2021, and the Okanagan Charter was written in 2015 as a global document to help colleges and universities around the world become what we call health-promoting universities. So when we adopted the charter in 2021, we started our journey towards becoming a health-promoting campus. What we've done over the last 4 years is build up infrastructure and support and get people involved. And we had one town hall in 2022 to basically introduce the initiative to the campus and share what it was all about. Last year, we spent the year kind of building up participation and building up rosters and each of our pillars. So this year we determined it was time to do another town hall to bring everybody together that's involved in the initiative, just to share what everybody is doing and talking about and what the vision is.
It's great.
But also to allow an opportunity for others on campus that might just be curious or interested in what's going on with this initiative and how might I get involved. From here forward, the initiative will meet from September through April, and then at the end of the year, each year, we'll do a town hall to bring everybody together to share thoughts and ideas and set the priorities and agendas for the following year. So that's kind of the structure of the initiative now.
I love that. I want to mention to listeners the four pillars. So it's diversity, equity, inclusion, the natural and built environment, sustainability, and culture of well-being.
Correct.
Sounds great. Can you talk a little about the culture of well-being, especially at UCI?
Yeah, so basically what sets this initiative apart from other kind of health and wellness initiatives that have come and go on campus is that we're talking about well-being. And a lot of people kind of use health, wellness, and well-being interchangeably and synonymously. And what we really wanted to do with this initiative is leave health and wellness alone, because I think most people understand that. The World Health Organization has clear definitions on those two terms. But well-being is a little different in that it's not just about individuals. It's really about systems and settings and culture and environments mm-hmm. that really give inhabitants of a place, in this case, the campus setting of UCI, gives them capacity to be their best they can be. And that's not just humans, students, faculty, and staff, but it's the animals that call UCI home, the air we breathe, the water we drink and use, the insects, everything that calls UCI home, we want to make sure has the best opportunity to thrive and flourish and be their best version of themselves. So
that's
the
great.
Culture of well-being pulls together all of the usual suspects, so to speak, that do health and wellness work, mm-hmm. Whether it's for students, faculty, or staff. And we come together and we talk about, let's go above and beyond what our programs and services provide and really think about systems-level thinking as far as policies and culture, and creating a vibe of well-being for the campus. So
definitely.
It's not just about how many yoga programs we're doing or stress management workshops or things like that, but it's more about what policies can we advocate for that would really give people the best opportunity to thrive and flourish.
That's great.
What things can we do to really emphasize that we really care about well-being here at UCI? So that's really what we're doing. So again, mm-hmm. we've got, you know, UCI Health involved. We got student wellness and counseling and employee wellness and all kinds of partners coming together on this. And students, faculty, and staff make up the membership rosters of each pillar,
okay. And
they have conversations about, you know, the work that they do throughout the year.
Have you seen a shift in the need for more care from students post-COVID?
I think it's not just students. We found that staff and faculty as well have had some challenges kind of transitioning out of the pandemic. I think the engagement and connection piece is huge. In fact, this morning at 6 a.m., I got up and sat in on a webinar, a Gallup webinar, that was about the global flourishing study that was just completed. So they studied 22 countries, and I think over 200,000 people were involved in this study, and they looked at what really supports flourishing across cultures, across countries, across identities, and they really talked about a couple of things that stuck out, and one of them was relationships and connectedness and engagement. People feeling like they're connected to their community, they're connected to a purpose in life. So that really resonated with me, because I think when we talk about coming out of the pandemic, when everyone was really required to be isolated and separated from others, transitioning out of that has been tricky.
Yes.
We've got hybrid schedules, we've got in-person things, we've got remote things and virtual things, and how do we balance that with really re-engaging as a community? I understand the convenience and the need for some folks to want to work and study and whatnot remotely.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about engaging and building community and building a culture of well-being, it's really tough to do those things in a virtual environment. Again, I'm not discounting the need in some cases for that, but I think really what people are looking for is, how can I really engage with people? And I think the best way to do that is in person. So we're going to talk about some of those things as a priority in the Comprehensive Wellbeing Initiative Town Hall, because a couple of things that were identified and have to do with just that. How do we get students, faculty, and staff to really re-engage and get together and gather and build community?
Yes, that's so important. I know there's been a lot of research on Gen Z's experiencing a loneliness epidemic, and Vivek Murthy, the U.S. Surgeon General, Surgeon General, talked a lot about, you know, the importance of connection and relationships and community. That seems like UCI is very aligned to that.
Yeah, I would agree. Although I would say, and I've included some of these comments in the staff engagement survey and other opportunities, that, you know, we really have to work hard to figure out the balance of the hybrid and virtual and in-person model, right? Because I think in a lot of ways, there's the convenience and the benefit that brings, but there's also things that deters from people gathering and engaging in good conversation in person.
Yes, and I agree with you. I think we do need to foster moments of connecting in person. And actually, I don't know if you saw this, but Vivek was talking about the power of a potluck dinner to get people together. And I really believe that, and I'm aligned to what you're saying, people need to, sometimes they require a little nudge to be back in person. And it's really beneficial. And people did get very used to being remote, to the point of discomfort with social anxiety now.
Yeah, our staff actually does a potluck every quarter.
Oh, I love
it. At the end of the quarter, just to, you know, just for us to gather and have casual conversations, informal conversations, get to know each other. We each bring, you know, one of our favorite dishes or whatever. And it's just a great way to connect as colleagues at work, but in a social, less formal way.
Yes.
And one of the things that we did as a staff in our center, the Center for Student Wellness and Health Promotion, was we recognized these conversations. We had students saying, I'm having trouble making friends and meeting people. We had faculty saying, you know, I'm having trouble maybe engaging with this generation of students.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much digital technology that that they communicate with, and I'm just not caught up to that way of communicating. So, and staff are kind of caught in the middle of trying to do programming and involve faculty and students, but it's been tough to get those barriers taken down so that people can truly engage. So one of the things we did this year in the fall was we partnered with the School of Social Sciences, which was perfect because that's what they study is social behavior. And we put students, faculty, and staff in the same room from the School of Social Sciences and just put them around tables intermixed with each other, mm-hmm. And gave them prompts to start conversations. Because what we've found out is we know students want to engage in person, but you can't just invite students to an event and expect them to just talk to each other and meet and mingle.
Yes.
Especially coming out of the pandemic, there's some social anxiety that exists. There's some people that just haven't built those skills because maybe they were in the pandemic and isolated during those critical years of high school when, you know, socialization and dating and other things really build those skills. So we did this program to really kind of do a conversation 101. We intentionally didn't call it a workshop. It was really just social sciences social.
Oh, I like
tongue
that.
Twister.
Yeah.
And just let them talk. And we got such great feedback. Like students said, I had no idea that I had some similar hobbies as my faculty or staff. And faculty said, I had no idea that some of these students were coming from so far, or the reason they chose UCI was this. And mm-hmm. so it just gave people an opportunity with some prompts to socialize and get to know each other with those fears and barriers kind of taken away.
Yes. And sometimes when students see other students feeling the same way, they move through that anxiety and they open up a bit more.
Yeah. And we've learned that lesson with mental health work, which you know very well, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that a lot of times challenges get compounded when you think that you're the only person dealing with this challenge.
Yes.
Right? But once you start to realize other people have the same challenge, or maybe even the exact same challenge, or a similar challenge, that you're not alone,
mm-hmm.
and other people are maybe struggling the same way. And that reduces the stigma around, it's not just me.
Yes, I agree. I don't even know if you know this, but I've been a community partner for the past, I think, 4.5 years, Outside the Box, the mental health advocacy work I do, and I have field study students. And some of the most powerful conversations happen with students when they either come up to me or my interns, and they'll get emotional, like, you know, because we're giving out flowers.
Yep.
Or we're doing an activity, and it gives them a pause to kind of connect with new people, and there is an awkwardness, but they'll just feel like, wow, you know, I get a moment to really share or open up in a safe space. Not that UCI doesn't provide that, but we're right out there on Ring Road with our signs like,
right.
We want you to care about your mental health as much as we do. And they just stop, you know, and it's been a social experiment too, to see what makes them react and pause, and it's been great.
And that's really what the power of the Comprehensive Wellbeing Initiative is we're really trying to engage students, faculty, staff from all areas of campus, all disciplines,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, find out what are you passionate about? Are you passionate about diversity, equity, and inclusion issues? Are you passionate about our natural and built environment of the campus? Are you passionate about sustainability and climate issues? Are you passionate about, you know, well-being, health, wellness? Find one of the pillars that you're passionate about and get actively involved in how we can make UCI the best place it can be to support your well-being.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what you're giving them is also purpose and meaning and connection,
right.
and person, and it's wonderful. So on the show blog, my show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org, I put information about you, a link to health promoting,
okay.
and the Comprehensive Wellbeing Town Hall. Is there anything you'd like to share? I know you mentioned there's people from Cornell coming. Do you want to talk about some of the speakers?
Yeah, so basically the first hour, the event will go from 11 to 1:30, and lunch will be served from 12:30 to 1:30. But from 11 to 12, will be have an introduction and overview of the initiative, and then each of the four pillars will have about 10 minutes to share what they've been talking about, what their vision for the future is, what their priorities are that they want to work on. So each of the four pillars will share for about 10 minutes.
Okay.
And then we will have our two speakers, again, Julie Edwards from Cornell University. We'll talk about what Cornell is doing with their initiative. They are also one of the early adopters of the Okanagan Charter, and they've been doing some great work in assessment evaluation of their initiative. And she'll talk for about 15 minutes from 12 to 12:15. And then from 12:15 to 12:30, we'll have Dr. Vicki Squires from the University of Saskatchewan, and she's the principal investigator of a global study of six campuses around the world that have adopted the Okanagan Charter and are, you know, working to become a health-promoting campus. There's two from the UK, two from Canada, and two from the United States, us and the University of Michigan. So we're in pretty esteemed company there. And she's going to share some initial findings of what her study is showing. What they're doing is interviewing about a dozen people or so on each of the six campuses that are in leadership roles with their initiative to find out, you know, what's going really well, what are some of the challenges, what are some pieces of advice that you would give other campuses that are along their journey to either adopt the charter or have adopted, and they're you know, trying to become that health-promoting campus that the Okanagan Charter encourages. So that will take us to 12:30.
Okay.
Then at 12:30, what we're going to do is we're going to break for lunch, but during lunch, we'll have some engagement opportunities where people can be interviewed in front of a video camera to just share thoughts on, you know, what is it about this initiative that excites you? Is there something that you resonate with that you really feel connected to with the initiative? Mm-hmm. What do you feel UCI does really well to support a culture of well-being? So there's a few video prompts that you can just answer one of the prompts in a video interview, and that will give us some content to add to our website to bring it to life. And then also what we're going to do is each of the pillars has identified a couple of key priorities that they've discussed and want to work on moving forward, and we're going to give each participant that comes to the town hall five votes that with a sticker that they'll get to go by the different priorities that are listed and put their vote on what they feel is maybe something that they resonate with most or they feel is important. So there's about 12 or so different priorities that the pillars have identified that people will get to vote on.
That's
and then
fantastic.
That will set the agenda for next year's conversations as they get back to work in the fall.
I love that. You know, just from what I've seen on campus, especially like around finals week, when you have the de-stress events.
Yep.
I know Tony Martinez and Beth are a big part of that. I'm sure you are as well. And we have the mm-hmm. dogs and just people, the students love that. I can just see it, you know, it's a great thing. You have an infrastructure of wellness, of care. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Just really encourage you to get involved. The critical piece of this is we can't make a difference across the campus if we don't get everybody's voice represented. If you have an opinion, you have thoughts, you have ideas, this is where we as a campus can come together in community and really work together. There's no one person or one department responsible for well-being, although mm-hmm. some offices and departments are called wellness or well-being. It really takes everybody to contribute to a community, and that's what we're trying to accomplish.
That's wonderful. So I want to mention that for listeners, you can RSVP by Friday, May 2nd, and on the show blog again, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. You can register, but where else can they register?
I think the best thing to do is just go to the website, healthpromotinguniversity.uci.edu.
Okay.
Right on the homepage, we have, we call it a homepage takeover. The town hall is featured right there on the homepage with the QR code to RSVP. I think the link might actually be live as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they can go right to that website, find out more about the initiative, to learn more about it, and also register for the town hall.
Fantastic. So that's healthpromotinguniversity.uci.edu. You can find information on the backstory of this, the four pillars, and more, and how to get involved. That's wonderful. Doug, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
I'll see
Appreciate
you there.
Your time.
Absolutely. That was Doug Everhart calling in. He is the director of student wellness and health promotion right here at UCI. And we were talking about the Comprehensive Wellbeing Initiative Town Hall coming up May 7th. There is still time to register. You need to register by the 2nd. You can go to my show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org, or you can go to the health promoting website and find out more. It's going to be a fantastic event coming up at 11 o'clock on the 7th in Middle Earth Housing. I hope to see you there. If you want to find out about being a guest on my show, you can just send me an email to Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E, at KUCI.org. I want to thank Ivan Williams for calling in at the top of the hour and Doug Everhart. Again, if you want to know more about the show, you can visit the blog because I've been doing this since 2011. GetTheFunkOutShow.KUCI.org. Every show I've ever done is on there, including in the pandemic with videos and everything remotely, but it's great to be back in person. So, all right, have a great week, everyone. I'm going to leave you with some music, and I'll be back next week. Coming up at the top of the hour is SoCal New Waver with Past Forward. Stick around for that. That's a great show. And I'll be back next Wednesday. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.